In our second part of covering the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus Conference on February 16th, we talked to Jerome Brown about the issue of marijuana legalization. We talked to Amy Cohen of Families for Safe Streets and Jim Anderson, the state co-chair of Citizen Action. So we're at the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus, and Jerome Brown has a little sticker on, "We Rise to Legalize." So what are some of your issues with respect to the proposals about legalization of marijuana?
I have no issues with the proposals for the legalization of marijuana. Our issue is we want some of that revenue coming back to the communities hardest hit by the illegalization of marijuana. So we have six pillars that we're standing on. We want investment in our community. We want job opportunities. We want expansion for medical marijuana, because currently elderly people who have prescriptions for medical marijuana have to go way out. They have to travel miles to get it. So we want them to have something in our community where they can go fill their prescription. We also want expungement, which means if you're about to legalize marijuana, people shouldn't be penalized. They should be able to get their records expunged for minor marijuana infractions, and then they'll be able to go apply for a job without that popping on their record. Also, we want a sustainable workforce. We want opportunities for minority women and black enterprises to be able to get into the workforce with the legalization of marijuana. Currently, they have one in Pittsfield. But if you go around to any of the dispensaries, you don't see too many people of our color at these dispensaries. And also, we want education for the community, not just on marijuana. And with saying that, we also want education on the abuse program. We want some of the funding to go towards the abuse program, because some people do abuse marijuana.
So individuals who have previously been convicted of, marijuana sales or distribution, should they be given any type of priority in terms of getting licenses to sell?
Well, that's actually something that they are doing in California right now. They are giving people who have been penalized by this, they're giving them opportunities to be able to restructure their lives and be able to lawfully sell marijuana now.
And if people want to find out more information about your positions and groups, is there a website?
Yeah, all they got to go to Twitter, to Instagram, or to Facebook, and you go to We Rise to Legalize.
Thank you very much. So we're talking with Amy Cohen, who's here with Transportation Alternatives and particularly Families for Safe Streets. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit of what is the Safe Streets project or position?
So Families for Safe Streets is a group no one should ever have to join. We all lost a family member, suffered a serious injury in a traffic crash. I lost my son 5 years ago. He was nearly 13 years old, and he was struck and killed by a speeding driver in front of our home. No one should ever have to bury their child, and yet it's happening almost every day. It's a national epidemic. It's happening in New York City. It's happening everywhere in New York State. You know, we're one of the most dangerous countries in terms of traffic crashes. Other places have started to solve this problem. We're doing some amazing things in New York City. 30% fewer people are killed in traffic crashes since our group was formed 5 years ago. But still, someone is killed in New York City nearly every day, and the numbers are the same around the state. We have solutions out there, and we just need the political will to use them. Right now, we're here in Albany fighting for speed safety cameras in front of New York City schools to protect every New York City school student, to protect all New Yorkers. No one should be killed because they're walking, biking, being a passenger, a car, driving a car. This epidemic has to stop.
So what are some of the other solutions that could be taken to try to reduce pedestrian fatalities by being hit by transportation cars?
Yeah, I mean, the most dangerous streets in almost every community are known. In New York City, there was one called Queens Boulevard. People called it the Boulevard of Death. How could you jokingly know you had such a problem that was so dangerous you called it the Boulevard of Death? When we know that if you redesign your streets for safety in mind, it's transformative. So we took on transforming the Boulevard of Death into the Boulevard of Life. We pushed for 3 years to redesign that street, and since then, no one has died on Queens Boulevard in New York City. We have these solutions. You redesign your streets, you have speed cameras, you lower the speed limit, you identify the most dangerous drivers and re-educate them, and you hold people accountable after a crash. Those things work. We need them all, and we need them all now.
I know that the de Blasio administration has articulated the goal of working on this issue. How would you, rate the city's, performance so far in recent years?
So the framework of saving lives is called Vision Zero. It's using data to find the most dangerous places and the solutions that work and putting those in place so that we have zero traffic fatalities. And actually, it's not perfect, but it is working. As I said, traffic fatalities are down 30% in New York City, when in recent years, they're up 15% across the country. So what we're doing is working. We just need more of it, and we need it faster.
And if people want to find out more about Families for Safe Streets, I have a website, Facebook page that they can look at.
Yep, website, Facebook page. In addition to Fighting for Change, we support everybody who's been through a traffic crash, whether you lost someone or you were injured. No one should have to walk this road alone.
And the name of the webpage, yeah?
FamiliesForSafeStreets.org.
Thank you very much, Amy. So next we catch up with Jim Anderson, who is the Vice President of Citizen Action of New York. He hails from Buffalo. Jim, what brings you to the Black and Puerto Rican Caucus Conference today?
Well, there are several discussions that will be going on up here that we need to be involved in. One, of course, is fair elections and the impact of what unfair elections are doing, as well as the concern about how we develop an upstate and downstate homeless alliance that really works. You know, a lot of time things are looked at as New York City, and the particulars for upstate are quite different, so we need to make sure we have a real balance in order to move a state legislature towards the right direction. I also think it's interesting to look into, as people continue to talk about the legalization of marijuana and how good it is for communities of color, is to be sure that the stuff they talk about on the front end about the value incentives for those communities are in whatever legislation is finally produced. And also here, since the meetings are going to be providing a lot of discussion in all these issues, particularly around the inequities, the runaway inequality that is affecting everybody, but particularly communities on the front line, just like with climate, with economics, with healthcare, with education. There needs to be deep discussion, and people need to really understand so they can go back and organize their communities. It's good to see a lot of people turn out, but you know, sometimes these events can be like folks going to a parade and to watch and see and ooh and ah, but this is serious business, and the accountability after this day will see what people have taken back to their communities.
Now, on the homeless issue, I know for a couple of years, I think we assembly in Hevesy, had been pushing for some type of, additional rent payments to try to deal with the homeless issues. What are some of the things, particularly as an upstate resident, you think the state should be doing to help address the homeless issue?
I think that, when we got a lot of veterans all around the state, and upstate we have a lot of veterans. Often, when we look at veterans, there's not a lot of inclusion of veterans of color. I mean, most of the homeless housing situation around vets up in my area are operated by majority, not by people of color. And the real opportunities within, deeper in the communities, to establish entities that could house veterans need to be developed. I think also a special initiative to help veterans who are after the most immediate wars we end really find their footing. That whole issue has been kind of washed over by the false patriotism. And so when people say, thank you for your service, they need to think about, are they really thankful? the when you look at the impediments that still exist for so many vets, it's a front-end promise, and it's a good soundbite for young vets who are like hyped up, oh, I'm going in the military, but haven't hit the reality of the deficits that it provides. To give you a clear example, look at the national issue going on with Army housing right now in the dilapidated housing and those greedy investors who want to call itself developing on behalf of veterans that don't really serve what veterans need.
So we've been talking with Jim Anderson, Vice President of Citizen Action. Jim, website?
Yes, citizenactionny.org.
This is Mark Dunley for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.